Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
Hi, Niall. I work for a small shop and I've worked there for the last 9 years. The boss is fair. And when you need days off, etc., she's very accommodating. I get paid fairly. I won't lie to you and say that I'm paid well, but it's fair for the job that I do. If I want to earn more money, I need to get another job. But to be honest, I'm quite happy here, and I appreciate it's not a multi-million pound business. The boss drives a moderate car, she lives in a moderate house, and she has 3 kids and works hard. Excuse me, that caught my throat there. I do apologise. It's not COVID. There are 6 staff. And at any one time, there would be full 4-time staff on. The problem started when one new girl started last year. And she never stopped complaining about her breaks and her wages. And I'll be honest, some days we are really busy and we don't always get a full break. Some days we might get out for 15 minutes late of the shop if it's really busy, but that's the joys. Lately, this girl is getting the others on her side and has them all complaining about their rights and their wages. And we get paid €11 an hour and they want 15. They have suggested now that they go on strike and the shop is in a local community and it will destroy the owner's reputation. I don't want to strike, as I like my job, but I'm being pushed into doing it. And I was told that if I pass the picket, I'll be a scab. The boss has talked to me privately and said she appreciates my loyalty and said that she can't give in to them, that she can't afford to pay them any more for the job, and their demands are being unreasonable. The staff are planning a strike in the next few weeks, and my husband has told me that I need to stay in solidarity with the workers. But I disagree. Because I don't want to be an outcast. But I don't want to be an outcast or a scab. On the other hand, I feel so sorry for the boss. It's this one person that's taken away from the happiness of my job. Yeah. Well, what do you think of a situation like that? What would you do if you're in a situation like that, where somebody comes into your office, your job, your business, and they rile up the troops and they start winding everybody up, and all of a sudden everybody's going on strike? And you're sitting there going, Jesus, I like my job. You know what I mean? It's a good job. I mean, okay, I'm not getting paid the best money in the world, but it's a good job. I like it. I'm happy here. You know, I don't want to change. It does me for what I want it for. Why would I want to go on strike? I like the boss too. She's a nice woman. She's not making a fortune. She's making a few quid, but she's not making a fortune. Get a wage out of it like everybody else. So why should I go on strike? I'd like to know what you think. What would you do in that situation? Would you be in solidarity with your workers, even though you didn't necessarily agree with them? And by the way, we've seen that on a mass scale in this country. I'm sure there have been doctors and nurses and teachers, because they're the ones who mainly seem to go on strike in this country. Doctors, nurses and teachers, during the many strikes we've had over the last God knows how many years, particularly with teachers, because there's a lot of strikes, teacher strikes, another one threatened soon, who don't agree with the unions. And are going, well, we're actually paid okay. If you look across Europe, for example, at the amount of pay that we get, you know, and the way we're treated, generally speaking, we're treated fairly well. We could do an improvement. There's always room for improvement. But hey, I don't want to go on strike. And they feel they have to. Because if they don't, some of their work colleagues will look at them and go, what are you up to? You're not supporting us. I remember talking to a teacher years ago. And he's a friend of mine, and he was in teaching business for 25, 30 years, a veteran of the game, so to speak. And he hadn't been taking much time off. And his superior came to him and said, you need to start taking a few sick days there. You're making everybody else look bad. So there's a lot of pressure on people in jobs to do what everybody else is doing, even though you might be quite happy in your own work. So what would you do? Would you risk being called a scab? Would you pass a picket? Would you pass a picket? That's really the question. Would you pass the picket? It's only a small business. Let me know what you think. The number is 087-188-0008. Would you pass the picket if your work colleagues were on strike, but you didn't want to strike because you loved your job? Would you pass the picket? The argument is they're fighting for your rights too, you know. 087-188-0008. Or if you want to, by the way, you can contact us and you can get on air. It's 0818-942-105. Let me go to Michael. Michael, you're in Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Michael?
Afternoon, Noel.
Afternoon, Michael. Jesus, Michael, you sound a bit sultry there today. Is everything all right there with you?
I just had a dairy milk and a cup of tea, so I'm buzzing.
See, if you put the chocolate on your tongue and then drink the drop of tea, melts.
Just get it into you. None of this fancy stuff. Just get it into you.
Would you dip it even? Would you think about dipping it?
No. No. It's a waste. That's a waste.
Right. By the way, in relation to the tea, sugar first or milk first?
I don't put sugar in my tea. Are you mad?
Why?
That's no.
Yeah, it's lovely. I couldn't drink tea without sugar.
No, couldn't have tea with sugar.
All right, okay. Okay. Or I had no sugar yesterday, so I just put honey in it.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, yeah.
What? There was no sugar. There was no sugar in the canteen here at the counter, but I did see somebody obviously brought in honey for their porridge or something. I don't know. So I just put two squirts into it.
I think you should go on strike, Sal.
I'm going on strike. Colm, I'm going on strike. There was no sugar the other day. Michael, well, here's the thing, Michael. If you were happy in your job and everybody else was going on strike, now, obviously, this is only six people working in this place, you know, would you go on strike?
I need more context to this story. But
what more context do you need?
Why are they going on strike?
Well, they want a rise. They're only on €11 an hour. They want 15, and they want their breaks. Now,
they don't get breaks. You have to get breaks.
No, but hang on. They do get breaks. But he mentions that some days they're busy and you mightn't get the break you're supposed to get. But I understand that, Michael. No. Michael, I don't get breaks.
Yeah, but you're on big money, though.
Yeah, you wish. But hang on. When my break, like, I suppose for the hours I'm here, I'm entitled to whatever minutes break or a half an hour break or whatever it is, right? But I don't walk out the door and go, oh, I'm off my break now. I'll grab a roll from the spar shop and I'll eat it while I'm working. That's fine. I'm grand.
Yeah, I know, but if you're on your feet for 8 to 10 hours or something.
A different job. Yeah, okay, I get
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? What's your motivation for 10 or an hour, €11 an hour? Like, you want the rake at least.
Yeah, but you play ball with the boss if you're treated well, don't you?
Well, there's certain rules and regulations that people fall for, like, that you're supposed to have.
But the last thing you want is somebody in a job whining. I remember I had a business years ago. And
yeah.
This girl said to me, I'm going outside for a smoke. And I said, can you look after that person there first, you know? And
yeah.
I'm entitled to a smoke break. And I said, no, you're not.
And
she said, she said to me, I am, because legally I'm addicted to cigarettes, so you have to give me a break. And I said, no, I do not. And then she was whining because she believed she should have been off for Good Friday, and all because she was a Catholic. and everything was just a whine. And at the end of the day, you get a bad taste in your mouth about a staff member like that, and you just want to get rid of them.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah.
You get those pipes though, but you just get rid of them as soon as you can.
Okay, but
they're not worth it. Not
okay, well, look, this situation is the six of them in the shop, five of them are going to go on strike. But this particular person wrote the email, said they get on well with the boss. They like the boss. The boss is not rich by any stretch of the imagination. It's a small little shop, making a few quid. And it's in a local community. And they put a picket outside the door. It's going to do, you know, insurmountable damage to the business. And this person says, I love my job. I don't want to strike. But they're telling me I'll be a scab if I do. So what would you do?
That's a tough one because of the nature of the business. I mean, I did cross a picket line years ago. But it was a different type of situation. I was working nights in a place. And I'd only just started working for the company. I was there about 3, 4, 5 weeks. And I was getting paid by this other agency outside of the company. And I was only a 3-month trial. And if I got a 3-month trial, I would get taken on with the company and all that kind of carry on.
Yeah.
But this was like very early 2000s. And I was used to being on building sites and stuff. And I got this job. I can't even remember the reason why I was on this job, but anyhow, I turned up to work one day. I started like 5, 6 in the evening, and there's a couple of lads standing on the door, and they didn't have any sandwich board on them with anything saying anything. And this was back before mobile phones, smartphones, internet, all that kind of carry on.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what was going on. I walked past the picket line, and one of the lads, I was going, what's going on here? One lad's muttered under his breath something about, like, you know, her father's died for this, blah, whatever. I don't know what the hell was going on about.
Did he mention the GPO as well? Yeah, probably did.
The right to protest or some nonsense. But anyway, I went in and I walked in, and the managers looked at me and they were like, what the heck are you doing in here? And there was a few foreigners in there as well, like Italians and Spanish and all. And they didn't speak a word of English, and they didn't.
They had no idea what was going on, yeah.
Yeah, so we're all standing there looking like lemons and penguins and all. And next thing, the manager explains it to me, and I was like, oh, shit. But the damage was done. I couldn't work there. I had to leave about a week later because I went in. It was quite, I think it lasted for 3 days or
so. So what, you were like ostracized then because you passed?
Oh, man, I
walked into the canteen and the soil and treatment, and it was about...
Yeah, I passed a bigot too. I passed a bigot many years ago when I worked in a nightclub, Stoke Hotel in Dublin. And
but you knew what you were doing though, did you?
Yeah, yeah. But the staff of the hotel were on strike, and they were standing outside the nightclub then that night, telling us not to go to work. I says, I love my job. I'm going in. Get out of here.
Yeah, but it was easy for you because you knew you were just kind of a freelancer.
Yeah.
You weren't going to be there all the time, you know what I mean? It's kind of a different situation.
Oh, well, I was. I was working at the place 3 or 4 nights a week, so, I mean, I liked it. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's the thing.
Well, I mean, and by the way, the place opened that night. A good few of the staff passed the pickets, but others didn't, you know. The nightclub staff kind of passed the pickets, but the hotel staff did. They had a picket outside the nightclub when we were all called scabs and weren't spoken to then again.
But, it can get nasty.
Well, of course it gets nasty. But I'm not going to go on strike against a boss that's paying me based on the fact that somebody else disagrees with something that's happening to them. Now, don't get me wrong, if I believe that person's being treated unfairly and there's a level of unfairness somewhere, of course I would help to support the person. But I'm not going to lose my job over it either because, I mean, at the end of the day, everybody has their own bills to pay.
Exactly. I think this situation is probably bad management. I mean, if they cannot sit down and work out a deal of some kind, because just like from the employer's perspective, as you said earlier, they're going to have damage to the business. They're going to lose. I mean, especially now, you need your businesses to be open. It's probably a retail shop if it's open today.
It is a retail shop.
So then, I mean, the workers.
Look, come on, you're stalling here, Michael. Like, you're sitting kind of on the fence and giving me your own story, and you're going down an avenue of pleasure here. Right. So just tell me, what should she do, or he?
I would get a mediator, and I would, between the staff and the shop owner, say, listen, we want this.
The owner has clearly said, the boss, she can't pay them any more money. So they're going on strike. So should this person, this woman, should I say, should she go on strike with them, or should she stick by the boss and be loyal?
If she's going to get paid, she's caught between a rock and a hard place. If she doesn't go on strike, if she's not going to lose any money, she should go on strike. But they maybe have a word with the owner, and so I say, listen, I'm not really into this, but like, because my life's not going to be, because they will hold it against her.
Okay, well, stay there for a second. Stay there, Michael. Pat, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Pat?
How are you, Norm?
How you doing?
Listen, I might be looking at the legalities of that.
It's not an official strike, obviously, unless they're part of the union.
If it's not an official strike, I'd have no compunction. I'd have no problem walking
past. But most strikes are not official.
Well, you can't just go on strike now and for no reason. You know, there has to be a reason, and generally, if it gets to the stage where, you know, you've confronted your employer or whatever, you've made your case, you know, there are processes to go to. You know, the LRC is there, you go there, they tell you, you know, they look at
that's a big bit. We're talking about a small shop in a community.
But it doesn't matter, you know, this is a small shop that's employing, as you say, it's employing a few people. Mm. It's providing a service to the community, and you know, you get one person as a being up on it. Oh yeah, and they can, you know, like,
and they wind everybody else up. Yeah, yeah,
exactly, and that's what happens. And you know, and if it's something that just can't be paid, I mean, the small shop, you know, if it's something that somebody just can't say, look, well, okay, I'll tell you what, I'll give 4 years a raise, but I'm gonna have to let one of you go.
But see, here's the thing. I mean, I understand people in the small shop are only getting 10 or 11 quid an hour, whatever it is, right? At minimum wage, most likely, right? But I don't want this to sound wrong. I don't feel sorry for them. If you want more money, just get a better job. That's what you get when you work in a small shop. That's the wages. That's always been
that
the case.
To it, yeah. I mean, as you talk about conditions there as well, I mean, they get their breaks. Look, in a situation like that, it's very simple. You know, they can't just put down tools. You're in the middle of serving somebody. You know, say, oh, look, 10 o'clock, sorry. Listen, I have to go. You wait. When you wait, have me break. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's flexibility. Everyone has to be flexible.
Yeah.
And I don't know. Look at Noel. I've seen him. I was a shop steward myself for years.
Oh, were you a shop steward, Pat, were you?
I was a shop steward. Right. You know, and I've had to represent guys who were just totally afterwards and stand there, you know, and defend them.
I'll give you a very funny story with my run-in with a shop steward. My very first job, I hated it, right? I worked in Waltham Electronics out in Sallynoggin, and it was an electronics firm. My father insisted that I... this job, I hated it, right? I used to get up in the morning at 7 o'clock and get the train, and I wanted to work in the record shop across the road from my house, right? And my dad wouldn't let me, right? I wanted to be a DJ, and he kept saying to me, get a 9-to-5 job like your father. And he kept organising interviews in Dublin Airport and everything. But anyway, so I went in, and the rules in this place were, if you were late, you clocked in. When you were 5 minutes, you had 5 minutes grace, and it went over that period that the print on the card went red, right? So I was purposely going in late. I'd stand outside, right? And I went in late one day. So when you were late, I think it was five times, you got a 3-day suspension. And after three days suspension, if you were late again, you got a 5-day suspension. And after the 5-day suspension, you'd be fired, right? Now, you had to do this all in one calendar month. So it was a fair achievement to do this, right? But I had it all planned. And I remember my last day, it was like the 29th of the month. And I'm standing there at the clock, right? And the shop steward, Pat, comes over to me. And Pat's there going, I'm saying, using. He says, do you want me to clock in now? And I said, we're representing and support you. And I go, don't represent me and support me. I want to lose my job. This is unfair treatment of workers. I said, it's not. And I purposely waited till it went red to clock in to get fired. But the shop steward was desperate to defend me.
Yeah, no, I'll give you an example now, a pure example. And I went, there's an incident in the job, and I said, look, I'm stepping down now as a shop steward, right? So I called a meeting, the lads, and in the canteen, and they were all talking away. And I was the problem arose when it was a case of, I used to go to the management, whenever I saw an issue arising, you know, I'd nip it in the bud. I'd go to them and say, can you deal with this before it becomes an issue? And yeah, no problem. There's never a problem.
Yeah.
But that became a problem with some of the lads. They wanted conflict. So anyway, I said, look, I can't. I was accused then of, you know, colluding with management. I mean, those are the only things that were helpful, you know.
Surely it was your job to collude with management, yeah.
Anyway, the worst part of it was, I went in and I said to the lads, look, I'm looking this on the head now. I said, I'm resigning from the shop. She said, oh, you can't do that, blah, blah, the usual, like, you know. And one of the lads turned around, and this is what got to me. If there were any doubts about where I was there, he says, I see Pat's problem, he says. And I said, what's my problem? He says, you can see both sides of the story, both sides of the argument. Yeah. That was it. Because I can empathise with both sides of the argument, that was an issue.
But you're supposed to. You're
of course, no, that's the
no,
job.
Sorry. No, no, unfortunately, you're not.
So what, the shop steward only represents the workers?
Exactly, that is the mentality.
So at no point can a shop steward turn around to a worker and say, well, look, in fairness to the boss here, they don't have that kind of money. You know what I mean?
No, you can't.
No, you can't.
No, you are there to represent the men, and that's the bottom line, okay?
Or the women.
You can have
don't be sexist.
You can look at things. And that's it. No, I'm not being smart. No,
I'm just saying that you said men. Right? I said the men and the women.
So, well, it was all a man, believe
it
or not.
Oh, okay, getting back to this particular story, because I have to go into a break. Pat, this person, so there's six of them in the shop altogether. They're going on strike in the next week or two. It's obviously an unofficial strike because they're getting 11 quid, they want 15, and they want obviously more set breaks, right? You know, sometimes in a situation where there's a small amount of staff, you don't always get the breaks you're supposed to get. You work with the boss, you know, and they might let you off early one day and you might do an extra 15 minutes another day, all that kind of care.
So that's perfectly should be okay. I mean,
should this person pass the picket?
Now, what I would do first, I'd sit down with, I'd speak, because she obviously speaks to the owner of the shop. I'd say, look, you've got to put her across that, you know, if you really genuinely can't afford this, and if she genuinely can't, say, look, well, I've got X amount of workers, I'm going to have to let somebody go. If you, the rest of you insist on getting a raise, well, who am I going to let go to cover that?
Mm. But if you let somebody go, she can't do that either. She needs the productivity.
But she can't do that. She, that's it. Otherwise, you bring into the labour relations court and they decide if the owner is capable, if they have the money to do it well, then it's the onus is on them. If they deem to be,
But you're looking at, Pat, you're looking at this from a shop steward point of view, and it's all very, you know, nonchalant and everything else, and all very fair. But realistically, they're in a situation right now at this very moment where the people are going to go on strike, and she wants to know, should she pass the picket? They're not going to go to labour relations.
I'm looking at it, Noel. I'm talking about this, right? If people want money, they don't want to work. Yeah. Okay? Mm. That's the point. That's generally the situation. They want money, they don't particularly want to work.
And that's it could be a case of they might be looking at the PUP payment and they could be working for payment.
Yeah, there is that.
I did say the other day on Twitter, these lockdowns are not going to end until the government stop bankrolling people and bankrolling businesses and obviously let people go back to work. Okay, lads, thank you. The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Would you pass a picket, even if it was an unofficial strike? Would you pass a picket on your work colleagues if you felt you weren't being hard done by and you felt, oh, I think the boss is fair. I think the money is fair. I like my job. Would you pass a picket? I've admitted to you, I passed a picket many, many years ago. I did, because my boss treated me fairly and treated our staff fairly. I can't make the same claims to the hotel that it was, that the nightclub was part of, but the hotel staff put a picket on the nightclub and we passed the picket. The nightclub opened as normal. They weren't very happy. We were called scabs, all sorts of names.
Niall, if they're not in a union, they'll all lose their jobs if they strike. You have to be in a union. You have to bat the back end of a union. And that is true. They can go out and strike all they want. She'll replace those people within an hour. And that is her right. It's very possible that she's claiming the, you know, the scheme for the staff through the government now, through the pandemic payment, that she's claiming that. And if she is, they're very limited as to what they can give in pay rises, because the government is paying 85% or 70% or something of the wages, and they have to be seen not to be overpaying their staff or they lose that scheme. So your man is right. They need a mediator there to explain both sides.
I get what you're saying. It sounds to me like it might be a small newsagents type shop. That's what it sounds like. So they're probably not on a subsidy because they wouldn't have lost too much money from the pandemic. The other point is, you're right. She could fire them all, but that's not going to look good. Small community, they're going to be standing outside with banners. She's going to lose a lot of business. It's not going to look good if she hires other staff. Do you understand? There is a situation there. Certainly. Niamh, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Niamh?
Hello, Niall. How are you?
Good. Nice to talk to you. Niamh, I mean, here's a situation where somebody's in a small shop, six staff, five of them are seemingly unhappy because one of them is doing a bit of shit stirring, and they're all going on strike except for this person because they feel that I'm happy in my job. I mean, should they pass the picket?
No.
No?
No, let her out. No, let them off. Let them off, because at the end of the day, if let her go on strike, or not, let no to the strike is what I mean, right?
Oh yeah, so it's pass the picket.
For the simple reason, it's going to be, like, obviously that the boss is going to go on strike, and she will be the only one. Like, if the woman can't afford the business, then nobody will have a job if she ends up closing.
Well, so this is this, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be of no value to anybody if they look for rights that they're being fairly paid, like.
But here's the thing. If it's in a small community and the other five staff go on strike and they're outside the door telling people, we're on an official strike here, by the way, we'd prefer if you didn't go in. There's going to be very little business, right? While the strike is on. And the one person that's gone to work with the boss, because the boss will obviously go to work and help out, the one person that's, you know, that's gone into work will be ostracised once the strike is over. If the strike is over.
But Niall, would you seriously go on strike for that, for a small business? It isn't.
No, I personally
we're not
wouldn't.
Talking about Dun Stores. We're not talking about Debenhams. We're not talking about Brown Thomas. We're talking about a small little local shop.
Yeah.
In the name of God, would people just be grateful that they have a job? Or is that generation gone?
See, people would say, and I would agree with you, Niamh, but there are people out there that would say, oh no, there's more to being grateful to have a job. You have to be treated fairly and you have to get your worth and be valued and all that kind of stuff.
I won't course, and the
designated breaks, etc. She said, like, for example, sometimes the shop's busy.
Extravision for all.
Oh, Extravision! Remember that?
Do you remember them? The video lights, and I remember none of us got our like. If it was busy, you just didn't take your break.
You'd eat your roll or whatever while you were standing there. Yeah, yeah.
You did, and you served customers while eating a curry or whatever you did. That is what you did.
Poor old Extravision. That's one of the. The strangest stories in Irish history. I mean, here was this guy who had this wonderful idea for the video shops and expanded so quickly with shops. Yeah. And then he moved into the UK and he bought a lot of shops in the UK. He was the best businessman in the country.
Yeah.
And then overnight, the whole thing just, boom, gone, collapsed.
But you see, like, do you know that song, Radio Killed the, or Radio Killed, what is it?
Video Killed the Radio Star.
Video Killed the Radio Star. So therefore, when we were there, that when the DVDs came in, and like we had these vaults, that's what they called, where you kept the tape.
Yeah.
And like the space that we had made by the time we came to DVDs, we thought this was just, it was fascinating. Like we were there with the turn of the currency and...
Yes, the euro and
euro and the pound. And it was brilliant, but... Like, we were there, and when it was busy, you didn't take a break.
But you know, I'm sorry to go to digress and go off on a tangent here, but you know what the downfall of the video shops was? The biggest downfall, and I know Blockbusters had the same problem as well, was that if somebody came in like me, and they got a video, and whatever it was at the time, $2.50 a night, whatever it was, right? And I got my video, and I brought it home, and I forgot to bring it back the next day.
Yeah.
And then the next day, then I went, oh, shit, if I bring it back now, I'm going to have to pay them an extra 50 pence. Oh, sure, I won't bring it back. So it ended up going on and on and on. And so much so that they had to give amnesties to people to bring back their videos. So what that in turn meant was they lost business because I was afraid to go back to them because I knew I owed them money. So
but you see, now, where we were, we had to ring them after 3 days. That was our policy that time.
Right.
Right.
Bring back
you
the video.
You rang them after 3 days, say, hi, Niall, come here. You took out our video the other night. Is there any chance to drop it back? That's the way we do it.
And would you let me drop it back for free or would you be looking for money for
no,
me?
You see, this is it. This is the problem. But you see, where it went into the discretion of the staff member, I just said, look,
just
if it was
the
a
video.
Genuine mistake, look, I leave it off. If it was a child's video or DVD, I wouldn't even charge it. I just say, it got lost behind the
And that's always the way. And by the way, golden rule in business for people starting out, never let people or customers owe you money. Because if you do, you lose business because they won't come back to you because they know they owe you money. Right, we're going on a tangent. Back to the strike again. Stay there, Niamh. Eddie, how you doing, Eddie?
That's a red note all night.
Yeah, sorry, we went off on a tangent there, Eddie. Eddie, would you pass a picket? Niamh said absolutely she would in a small business like that. The boss can't afford to pay people more money.
Well, I was involved in the strike myself. There was only six people.
Oh, there was only six people in your strike?
In my strike.
Okay.
Well, no, there was only six people working in the premises.
Right.
And I went out on strike for higher wages.
Oh, you went out on strike on your own?
I went out, and I was the only person on the picket line.
Right, so nobody joined you?
Nobody joined me.
And did they tell you they would?
They told me they would before I went out.
And they all passed the picket.
They were cribbing all the time about the low wages they were getting.
Right.
So I decided...
So they basically were winding you up and you were going, right, lads, let's go on strike.
Right, lads, I was seeking from every about the low wages.
And then you were the only one on strike.
And I went into my bosses in the inside office and I taught him that if I didn't get a higher wage...
We were all going on strike.
I was going on strike.
Right, and you did.
But I did, and when I did, I was issued injunctions immediately.
Oh, you were hit with an injunction?
Well, there was prohibiting me from continuing to pick it there.
Yeah, because it is illegal to obstruct business, you know, if it's not an official strike.
But you know who I got representing me above in Dublin in the Fourth Court?
Who?
James Connolly, solicitors in Dublin. I don't know whether you heard of them or not.
I've never heard of them.
And I was sent up there by Dalair and by... I met Brendan Halligan of the Labour Party.
All right.
And they represented me in the High Court.
Right, okay. Your system went all the way to the High Court. Well, there you go, Eddie. But Eddie, I don't want to get into your whole case history and everything else, and fair play to you for standing up for your rights and everything else. But were the wages that bad?
They were €20 or €25 a week.
How long ago was this, Eddie?
Sorry?
How long ago was that?
That was 1979.
Ah, yeah. Right. Eddie, in 1982, I was working for £50 a week.
£50 a week, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm not saying that was good wages, but it was probably minimum wage at the time.
Minimum wage, yeah.
And there's no law against paying people anything more than the minimum wage. There's a law against paying them less. Sorry to hear about your troubles, Eddie, but sadly nobody went on strike with you. All right, I've got to take a break. Keep texting, the number's 087-188-0008. All right, let me go to Mary. Mary, you're an Ireland's Classic Kids. How you doing, Mary?
I'm okay now. That's good.
Good. Would you pass a picket?
100%.
100%?
100%.
And it doesn't matter whether they're there going, scab, scab, scab.
Of course they will. I mean, that's what's going to happen afterwards. It's going to be a lot of tension. But my guess now, Niall, is there's only one person involved in this.
Yeah.
It's one person that's organised this.
And yeah, doing a bit of shit-storing, yeah.
A bit of shit-storing, a bit of...
Are you on a speakerphone, Mary? You're a bit muffled. Yeah. Are you muffled? Have you got it up to your ear or something? You're on your shoulder or something, isn't it? You sound like you're down a well, Mary.
Is that better?
That's much better, Mary, yeah.
No.
Yeah, so there's one person who shits Jordan here and everybody else is just following her. And obviously this person is the leader type, is she?
Yeah, well, I think there's a lot of case groups like that. I mean, there's only one person who kind of starts this kind of thing. And then everybody else doesn't want to be left out. They want to stay on the fence as such, you know.
Yeah, they don't want to be seen as being different. Yeah.
Exactly. And
I mean, what do they expect? They're in a small shop, 11 quid an hour. I know it's not a lot of money. But you're not going to get any more than that in a small shop. If you want more money, get a different job.
But they don't even get that in Lidl and Aldi.
No, do they? They do. They get a living. Don't Lidl and Aldi pay the living wage, don't they? Which is 11.50, I think, isn't it? Or something like that.
Yeah, and then it goes up a little bit to 12.50. They don't get 15.
No, they don't get 15.
No, that's what she's asking for. 15.
Yeah, they're looking for 15, and they're also looking for it, obviously their list of demands. So there's something to do with break time. So obviously, what's happening here is, you know, small shop, everybody works together. If it's busy, you don't take your break at the time you know supposed to. Maybe you might take it when it's quiet. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But that's kind of fair enough, isn't it?
Well, in the break situation, is fair enough. If they were more defined, there'd be less issues with that. But 15 euro for working in the shop is kind of obscene.
Okay, so you'd be passing that picket, that's for sure. Okay,
stay there
for a second, because, and Caroline, stay with me too. I'm going to come to you in a second, but I want to come to Andy first. Andy, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Andy?
And Niall, how is that? Your day going so far?
Yeah, my day is going well, Andy. I'm looking forward to the weekend. Are you?
I'm tormented, Niall. That's what I am. Tormented.
We're all tormented. Andy, would you pass a picket?
Never passed a picket. I was on strike 4 times in my working life.
Jeez, that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time. I've never been on strike in my life, but that's a lot of times to be on strike, isn't it?
And it was always one out, all out, Niall. I know with smaller concerns it's a different story, but all these rights that people have were fought for. They weren't just given to them by employers to say, look, you're not getting there a break there. Let's give you a 30-minute unpaid break. So any of these rights that people seem so callous about now, taken for granted.
Yeah, but there's been a give and take, Andy. If you're in a job and let's say your boss says to you, listen, I know you're due your break at 12, but we're very busy at the moment. Look, can you take it whenever it gets quieter? There's nothing wrong with that.
There's nothing wrong with that. But in some cases, Niall, and you know, there's good employers and not so good employers where then suddenly the break becomes a thing of the past.
Mm.
And
what about the wages? If they want 15 an hour. I don't know anyone working in a small retail shop gets 15 quid an hour.
No. I think definitely there has to be people sit down and negotiate. And maybe if the employer...
Oh, they're going on strike anyway.
If we show the profit that they're making, and they're only making a small profit. Now, it books both ways. I'm a long time work online, nearly 50 years I had now. But I remember a factory when I started first, and it was going really bad. So rather than cut wages and that, we used to come in maybe the odd Saturday and work for nothing. Like, you know what I mean?
Saying maybe the boss should explain to them that she's not making money and show. But I don't think it's any of the staff's business how much the boss is making.
No, if she said, look, the profits is such and such, without, don't have to name figures, but the profits is 10% or 5% or... But let's be honest about it. There was employers in this country who are multimillionaires.
Oh, there are. Well, they're multinationals. Yeah, most of them.
Niall. You might look at some of the beef barons.
Who are
tax exiles. And you can see the wages they're paying.
Minimum wage.
But the problem is...
Have you been listening to Mary? Mary said she'd pass a picket. Now, I mean, Andy, I'm asking you, if you believed the strike was wrong, right, in your heart of hearts, you said to yourself, I don't actually agree with this strike. You know, I think I'm being treated fairly, and I think generally we are being treated fairly. But they were going on strike anyway. Would you go out with them?
If the majority agreed with the strike, I would go with them.
See, Mary, there you go. Solidarity, Mary. That's what it's all about as far as Andy's concerned. Solidarity.
Because I tell you a reason, because maybe you'd want them guys to support you if something happens that...
Mary, do you want to respond to that there? There you go.
I think anyone is entitled to strike if they feel that they're working in unfair conditions. 100%. But I just from listening to everything this afternoon and listening to that letter, I don't think this is about more money or more breaks. I think it's a little bit of a fucking power struggle going on.
Watch your language there, Jesus.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Jesus, it'll close us down. I'm joking. But just watch your language. Sorry, Mary. It's a bad habit we all have. I've done it myself, by the way.
The problem is, Mary, all these rights, they weren't given to us. They had to be fought for.
Yeah, well, I know. I get that. Stay there, both of you. Let me go to Caroline as well. Caroline, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Caroline?
Hi, Niall. How are you?
Good. Would you pass a picket?
I'd pass a picket. She's obviously there because she enjoys the job. She's there, what, 7 or 9 years?
Nine years.
She's there. I'm in hospitality. I've worked in large hotels. I've worked in small hotels.
You're not working there at the moment, I can be sure of that.
No, I'm not. No, hopefully we're back in July.
Yeah, hopefully.
But, you know, she's working in a small business. Okay, she's not getting great money. But it obviously suits her.
Yeah.
Now, in a big multinational hotel or a very large privately owned hotel, you're basically a number. you have individuality when you're working in a small business.
Yeah.
You know, you build up a rapport with the owner.
The boss, yeah.
Yeah. And it's an individual. And you know, she's there because she wants to be there.
Yeah.
You know, I would definitely pass. And also, in small businesses, the worst thing that can ever happen in a small business is when someone's your own troublemaker comes in.
Yeah.
She's only there a year.
Only there a wet day, yeah, causing trouble.
Yeah. Chances are, she'll come in, she'll cause trouble, she'll cause a lot of consternation for the staff and the owner. She'll be gone in 6 months.
Yeah, she'll, well, that, and that, and see, this is what happens. And I was only talking to somebody about this a while ago. I was saying sometimes, and by the way, I'm not saying people shouldn't stand up for their rights. They should. But sometimes if you become a complainer, you become a liability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in a small business, nobody wants that.
No.
Small business, when there's 5 or 6 staff members, you all have to work cohesively. The job gets done. Everyone's happy. When you go looking for a raise on a one-to-one, you have a better chance. You work in one of these big places. You'll get your breaks at the said time. You'll get your holidays at the said time. But you're a number.
You're a
number. At the end of the day, you're a number. You're
yeah, okay. But sorry, Andy, you want to say something to Caroline?
The problem is if 5 people are unhappy and 1 person is happy, I'd have to look at why the other 5 people are. There can't be 5 troublemakers, like, you know what I mean?
No, but I think the one troublemaker has kind of stirred it up with the other 5.
Yeah,
other
definitely. 4,
yeah. They were all working. Everybody was happy enough until this other person came in.
Yeah.
Stir the pot. And that's what happened. Yeah.
Andy, I've seen that in businesses where, you know, one person can poison a whole business.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's true, but I've seen employers take advantage of people over the years.
Yeah.
And pay them the statutory requirements that are needed there and pay them below.
If you pay anyone below minimum wage, you're a scumbag and you deserve to be taken to court.
Andy, in retail, there's a huge turnover in retail. You're working in retail, you don't like your job, please go get another one.
That's it.
Get some qualifications and get a different job.
Yes, exactly.
If you don't like working in retail.
But that's not the point. That's not the point. If you have rights, you're entitled to them rights. There's a reason that you have rights.
But you're not entitled to 15 euros.
Yes, but the girl that wrote in, she's obviously happy in her job and she was happy until all this started. So why should she put her job at risk?
Well, why should she be happy? If she's happy and 5 other people are unhappy, then that means there's something wrong there. There's a reason there, just apart from maybe money. Because if you're working in a small retail, of course you can stagger breaks and you can spread out the breaks in such a way that you take them when they're not...
Odd day, if it's very, very busy, you might not get your full break. You just eat your roll at the counter.
Of course.
Is that okay?
A bit of give and take, The problem is employers then start to take advantage of that and want you to take no break. And then the trouble starts, like, you know what I mean?
Right. So that's fine, Andy. So what happens then when the business owner decides, okay, I'm going to have to pay everyone 15 euros an hour, so now I can't afford 6 staff members. Now I'm going to go with 3.
Then there's 3 people on job. And I don't get 15 euros an hour.
Exactly. You get 15 euros an hour in the shop. Nobody
gets 15 euros an hour in the shop.
The head of the HSE is getting 430,000, can I just point out?
There was a famous...
You went to HSE and you
can work with
the HSE. Niall, he's the highest paid CEO.
Niall, there was a famous union leader one time in the UK and his members were the highest paid on the railways.
Right.
And his motto was, if you fight, you might lose, but if you don't fight, you'll always lose. And I always remember that.
Good. Well, it's a good one to stand by with and a good one to end the show with. Listen, or not to end this section of the show with. Listen, thank you, Andy. Thank you, Caroline. Thank you, Mary. The overwhelming majority of people who text into the show today believe that she should pass the picket, which surprised me. I thought more people would have said that she should stand in solidarity with them. But I think people understood the situation there, that there was one person and it only takes one person, as I said, to destroy a business. You bring in one staff member. It happened to me many years ago in a business I was in and I had one individual who was constantly complaining and I could see her going to other staff members and saying, he's this, he's that, he's that. He's not letting us do this. I think we should stand up for this. And they basically shits her amongst all the staff. And they get staff thinking about things that they've never thought about before. And maybe you've been really fair to your other staff before, but all of a sudden, you're a big bad boss. You know what I mean? And they can drive everybody against you and it can turn and destroy your whole business. One person. And there are people out there who are perpetual complainers. Just perpetual complainers. That's all they do is give out and complain all the time.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.